This is it. We are down to the final regular season game. We know we are guaranteed one playoff game next week, the wild card, and that's it. That's all we're guaranteed. We know that. So let's enjoy this. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about where the Buccaneers are. This game going into the wild card playoff game. How you doing? I'm Rock Riley, and this is Bucs Kickoff Podcast on the biggest, baddest, best Buccaneer website anywhere in the world, joebucsfan.com. Bringing you up to the minute, to the second Buccaneer news. I'm over at One Buck Place. I'm there during the week. I'm out on the practice field watching, well, close to the practice field, as close as we are allowed to be, watching practice. I'm in the locker room. I'm there for the interviews. I'm bringing you what I see, what I learn. So let's get right to it. Does this game matter? This game does matter. This game does matter. Now, it's not going to change the positioning of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're locked in at number four. They're going to play either the Philadelphia Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys. Those are the two opponents. One of those opponents they're going to play. And it's going to be a home game at Raymond James Stadium. They don't have to travel far for this one. It's in Atlanta. But I can tell you this, being in that locker room, talking to every single player, every player wants to play. There's that. And it's a strange situation that they're in. Look, defensively, you can bring guys in and out during the regular season. The Buccaneers especially, they rotate players in and out. You don't do that with an offense. You don't do that with an offensive line. And Todd Bowles, after this last game, you know, was asked about, are you going to play your starters? Are you going to rest them? It's not going to really matter in the standings for you. And he's like, number one, this isn't training camp. We don't have 85 to 90 guys. You're going to have to play some of your starters the whole game. That's just how it goes numbers-wise. And, you know, all right, let's talk some facts. Who's out for this game? Okay. And Bowles, by the way, said they're going to start their starters. If you're eligible to play, you're not on the injury list, you're ready to go, you're going to play in this game. There are some things that we want to work on. Brady definitely wants to play. And every player that I talked to, everybody, when I walked out of that locker room, I was like, wow, that vibe is they all want to play. They say you can get hurt at any time. If you think about, that's what a lot of guys said, if you think about, oh, I don't want to get hurt, you will get hurt. So when you go out there, you can't half-ass it. This isn't going to be going out there and being like, you know, being in the old Pro Bowl and two-hand touch. No, it's not like that. Guys on the other side are playing for their careers, for their contracts, for either being in Atlanta or somewhere else, okay? And from what I get watching and listening to the other side, the Atlanta Falcons, like, they haven't just checked out. They really haven't, okay? Here's who's out definitely for this game. Left tackle, Donovan Smith, out. Carlton Davis, Logan Ryan, Carl Nassib, and Vita Vea are out for this game. There's only one, the left guard Wilkinson, Elijah Wilkinson, he's out for the Atlanta Falcons. Everybody else is going to be a go. All right, what are we getting for the Falcons? The Falcons come in 6-10. They're coming off a 20-19. It came down to a field goal. They end up beating Arizona. They have got a very good trifecta. Young, they're getting better. They're getting their feet wet. They want to build off of this. That would be the young quarterback, Desmond Ridder. When, what have you done for me lately? On the final drive, last week, he was 3 for 3. They've got a rookie running back who is a stud, Tyler Algier. He is third in the NFL, and he leads the Falcons in rushing. Their first-round wide receiver is a baller, Drake London. He leads the Falcons in catches. The Falcons defense. Now, I know for most of the season, the Atlanta Falcons defense sucked. They were bad. But what have you done for me lately? The last 5 games, they've only given up 19 points per game. Grady Jarrett is their man. 6 sacks. This season, 11 tackles for loss and 16 quarterback hits. So they've got this tandem running back duo in Cordarrelle Patterson. They call him CP, and Algier. Both are averaging close to 5 yards per carry at 4.8. Cordarrelle Patterson has got the 8 touchdowns. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they are looking for the momentum. Brady said that everything matters, every practice matters. I believe it. I believe it because I've been watching. I studied him again this week, and I even studied him on Thursday, okay? He prepares like it's the Super Bowl every week. Don't tell him this doesn't matter. He's never missed a game other than when they had the deflated, the football. So he prepared just like it is for every other. That you want to go in. You don't want to be backing in. You don't want to come after a really shitty performance and then have your first playoff game, the wild card game, and try to hype it all up. And, oh, we're going to just turn the corner and turn the page. You want to come in on a 3-game winning streak, playing better each time out. Now, Brady was really, really good and with Mike Evans in this last game. Brady threw for 432 yards, and he had the 3 long touchdowns, bombs to Mike Evans. Bombs. The Buccaneers defense, the whole thing coming, old Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers coming into last week's game had rushed for 320 yards, and the Buccaneers defense shut down that running attack. They only gave up 74 yards in that win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also, Brady, he said after the game, I don't think anything is meaningless. We're 8-8. We don't have all of our problems solved. Tom Brady against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, there's 2 ways to look at this. You can look at it, well, this streak is fine. Sooner or later, this streak is going to end. Or Brady is just so damn good against Atlanta. Brady is 11-0 in his career against the Atlanta Falcons, including that comeback win, that embarrassment for Atlanta in the Super Bowl. Okay, so we got that. Now, normally what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my Under the Rock segment here on Bucks Kickoff Podcast, as I've done every single week. What I see, what I hear inside those gates at One Buck. Okay, I'm always there every week, all the practices. The matchups, it's hard. I don't know if I want to go. I don't really don't want to go into matchups because I don't know how long starters are going to play. If Brady comes out, if they get up 14-0, then maybe you're probably going to pull the plug earlier. Or the bucket, what if they're down? What if they're down by a lot? Are you going to pull them right away? It's a strange, tricky situation. But I'll tell you something that isn't strange, and it ain't tricky. It's damn good hamburgers and damn good shakes, and that would be Burger Monger. My favorite place to get a Burger Monger. One of our fans here from Bucks Kickoff Podcast brought his family, traveled a distance. I saw the picture. He said it was delish. Thank you very much. Glad you enjoyed it. Their Chop House burgers and Barstool shakes are to die for. Here in the Tampa Bay area, locations for Burger Monger, you ask? Safety Harbor, St. Pete, and Wesley Chapel. What I love about the Burger Monger burgers, it's a 1/3 pound hand-pressed burger patties between ground chuck and sirloin beef. They put them together. They're hand-pressed on the grill to a perfect char for just absolute maximum flavor. They're hand-pressed on the grill, every single burger. You can craft your own burger with whatever cheese you want to pick, fresh toppings, their sauces, or even try one of their delicious house-crafted recipe burgers. And the sides, their craveable sides. I love them, man. The natural cut fries, you never go wrong with that. Sweet potato waffle fries, or the house-made hand-battered onion rings. And one of the best-kept secrets at Burger Monger is their amazing chicken sandwiches. Larger marinated chicken breast, you can get them grilled, fresh breaded, or deep fried to order. Now, if you're going to a Burger Monger, you gotta get their Burger Monger shakes. all-natural hand-scooped ice cream, hand-spun, thick and creamy, topped with whipped cream and a variety of toppings. Oh, and the six classic shake flavors. Snickers Supreme, Very Vanilla, Chocolate Fudge, Caramel Crave, Simply Strawberry, and Cookies and Cream. And they still, it looks like they're going to go right to the end of the season. Here we are. Their LFG Burger. This is the best bang for your buck. It's a Burger Monger burger stacked with two patties, 12 ounces of beef. You got the chopped lettuce, you got the provolone, you got the applewood smoked bacon, you got the fresh avocado slices, finished with a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing. It is a winner for only $12. That's one burger, the LFG Burger. Check it out. You will be glad you did. I got to get one more before this season ends. I go this week. Because we still got a wild card playoff game. We got it. We know we got that. But I want to see the momentum. What did I want to see last week? I wanted to see the hunger. I hadn't seen that. The hunger. Because I knew Carolina was coming in with hunger. And I saw it. I saw it. And it was good to see. I want to see the Buccaneers continue. I want that momentum. I want to see it. Whether you got starters, you got backups. Again, this isn't training camp. You don't have 90 guys. This isn't going to be a whole bunch of new guys, man. Guys are going to have to play, but I didn't get that vibe. So I'll go to my under the rock in just a second, but instead of like breaking down matchups, because some guys might not even be playing in the second half, what I would like to see is I don't know how long the starters are going to play, and I don't even think Bowles knows. It depends on how this game is going. But I would like to see more Rashad White. We were over at his locker. He feels good. He doesn't feel like he hit the rookie wall at all. He's a special kind of a rookie. I'd like to see more of him. And Lenny. I'd like to see Lenny when he's in there. I'd like to see him get some chunks. You know what I mean? He wants to be known as late season Lenny. Lenny from scrimmage this year, 1,187 yards, 72 catches. That's third amongst all running backs in the NFL. Now, Brady likes to check down. Brady likes to hit his running backs, and he likes to go to Lenny. Here's what I also want to see in this game, because I think you're going to need this in the playoffs. And I'm not just talking about the one wild card game. Oh, and you lose and that's it. Ooh, whoopee. In a bad division, they made it. No, I want to see a little bit of a run here. Okay, I want to see it. And I want to see the Brady to Russell Gage connection, because I think that needs some work. Now, Gage was hurt most of the season. But the last, and he even told us last week, I'm trying to think, did I talk to him this week? I saw him in there. He's always playing the pop darts. It's in the middle of the locker room. It's always Gage. Scotty Miller, every time I've been in the locker room, every time, he is the leader of the pop darts. It's like a cornhole. It's these little sticker darts that they throw, the two boards, and Scotty Miller, I even said, man, what are you practicing at home? He goes, I like to take the money, man. He's always playing it. Perryman a lot. Russell Gage. Sometimes Devin White is into it. But Russell Gage is always there. But Russell Gage was telling us that he is feeling really, really good. And he said Godwin is getting better, 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 and better. And I looked it up. The last three games for Russell Gage, 16 catches, 157 yards, and two touchdowns. And he's being used as an outside threat. He is the number three. He's wide receiver number three. It's Evans, it's Godwin, and it's Russell Gage. This is why they brought him here. He was all pumped up last week. Because, yeah, he's playing and he's going to play in the playoffs. He never has in the postseason. He hasn't run a route longer than 21 yards. And again, he hasn't been a slot guy. He's been on the outside. So I would like to see that more. I want to see him. I want to see the GOAT continue to go to Mike Evans, and Godwin's going to get his. No doubt about it. But again, be efficient when you are in there. Oh, and Brady also likes to go to Gage on third down. And even when they go to fourth down and they're in a passing situation, he likes to go. All right, so here, this is the scenario, okay? This is the grand finale in Atlanta, regular season. Here's the scenario. If the Eagles win, the Bucs play the Cowboys next week here at Raymond James Stadium. If the Eagles lose and the Cowboys win, then the Buccaneers will play Philly here. I know a lot of you would like the Buccaneers to play the Cowboys. You know what? At this point in the season, once it's playoffs, everything is amped up. Everything. It's win or go the hell home. And so I don't really care that much whether it's Philly or Dallas. Each team is going to be amped up. You're playing for a lot of money, man. A lot of, you know, you make your money in the postseason. If you're a big-time postseason player, you're going to get paid down the road. So everybody is amped up. So whether it's Philly or it's Dallas, to me, I don't know. And the one thing I will say is, to me, the most disappointing, here we are at the end of the regular season now, is Julio Jones. It is. Now, Lee from Joe Bucks Fan, he disagrees with me. I don't know what Lee was seeing. I respect Lee. Lee was there for all of training camp. I was there for just about everything, too. Lee said he didn't, when we went out to Burns and we were all there, we were at the restaurant with Sage and everything and Sean Sullivan from the great Bill Curry Ford. I was like, Lee, every time during training camp, when they would go 7-on-7 or 11-on-11, Julio got the biggest pop because it used to always be Gronkowski pop, meaning the cheers from the crowd. The fans were loving Julio. And Brady was loving Julio. I just saw it. That connection was there. And he's like, nah, it was average. I didn't see it. I don't know. I respect Lee, but that's something that I disagree with. I thought Julio was going to be a great find. He looked like he was healthy in training camp. Brady looked like he had a connection with him. I saw toe taps, sideline, end zone stuff. When they would do red zone during training camp, we would watch the entire practice. We didn't have to leave after a half hour like we do during regular season. And I mean, Julio Jones, all, you know, he's going up against his old team, okay? All-time Falcons wide receiver. He was there from 2011 to 2020, 12,896 yards, 60 touchdowns. You're back in Atlanta. Show me something. He's always on the injury report, knee, it was also illness. It's been disappointing to me. It has. And Russell Gage, ball out. You're going up against your team. Sixth round out of LSU. You spent four seasons in Atlanta. A little over 2,000 yards, 9 touchdowns. But that's what I would like to see when you're talking about matchups. All right, let me get into my under the rock. This is, you're only going to get this here on Joe Bucks Fan, baby. On Bucks Kickoff Podcast. This is why I go for you. Even some days I'm like, oh, do I really want to go to practice? I got to do this. Da, da, da. No, I'm going. I want to provide insight for this podcast. So before I even get to Wednesday, in the locker room, after the game, the shirt and hat day, here's the thing. It's almost like when I went to the Bowls game. I know there's so many Bowls and oh my God, unless it's the college football playoff, does it really matter? Maybe it doesn't to you, the fans, but to players, like the college football players, it does to them. I was on the field when Mississippi State beat Illinois here in Tampa, and I was running on the field. I'm in the midst of the celebration. They were celebrating like it was, it gives them something, man, to build off of, to go into next year. And I think it was like the NFC, you won the NFC South. I know the division sucked. I know you're 8-8, but you know what, man? It was like they had won definitely a playoff game. All the practicing, all the sucking in some games, you're hearing it from family members. You got to deal with it with the media. How come you can't do this? How come you're making all these penalties? How come the defense is giving up this? How come the offense can't get it in rhythm? Like, all you got to keep answering. And when you ball out like that, and you win the NFC South and you know you're going to get a home playoff game, you celebrate. And that's what they were doing. Some of them had the hats and the shirts on. They were putting that on when we were in there and then once we got out of there. And it was kind of cool to see. It was also interesting, wasn't it? When it's no biscuit, no risk it, no biscuit. Here is Bruce Arians Day. He's going into the Ring of Honor. And they put up over 30. And they put up the 30. They, you know, no risk it, no biscuit. The two times this year when Arians, the other time when he wasn't there. Now, we interviewed him at halftime. It was really cool. I was right there with Arians, and I talked to his brother, his son, Jake Arians, and the family. They were former Buccaneer players that were there. The Ring of Honor guys, the Sapp, and I saw Allstott. They had a big party for him at Raymond James Stadium on that Friday, and it was kind of neat to see. Fans loved him, and it was the no risk it, no biscuit. It was the risk it, and they got the biscuit. They got the bombs. And it was really, really cool to see. Bowles, right after the game, he was like, look, winning helps, period. This is coming from Bowles. Winning the last two games the way we did, Bowles says it helps build morale. And it was Sage. I know Sage asked, he might have asked Bowles. I know he asked Brady about Brady. Brady's like, I want to play, man. You can see it in his eyes. He doesn't give up opportunities to play. He's like, I'm a football player. I want to play. And Bowles said, we can't take our foot off the gas. And again, it's not like camp. We have 80, 90 guys. In football, you can get hurt. First week, camp, if you worry about getting hurt, you probably will get hurt. We signed up to play football, coach football, so we're going to play. Now, on the deep balls, with Brady and Evans. Evans admitted, because Evans came out, he came out in this North Carolina Tar Heels jersey. I saw it in the locker room. I'm like, I know Evans is a big basketball guy. He loves basketball. He was good at basketball and he loves it. And sometimes he's wearing jerseys. He's wearing NBA jerseys or a player. And I'm like, oh, Tar Heels. He came out and he told us when they had the Secret Santa among the wide receivers, Godwin picked him or had him, and he got him that jersey. He goes, this is my favorite jersey. He loved it. And it was funny how he was wearing it against Carolina, the North Carolina. But anyway, when he was asked about it, he was saying, like, usually when he's going up against these NFC South teams, especially Carolina, you know, the Saints, they usually double team him. What he says is he is usually double teamed for any game. But for some reason, Carolina and Atlanta like to play one-on-one with the single high safety. And when he saw that, and Brady sees that, one-on-one with Evans, boom. And Brady also had a little bit more time. The O-line did a hell of a good job. It makes a difference, man. It makes a difference. And Evans said in the post game that Tom's footballs were in his breadbasket. He goes, man, I looked up. It was right here. And it was. And again, I keep telling you, I get so much crap and shit from people. Brady is washed up. Brady is washed. Hard to watch. He's washed. I tell everybody, I watch, I focus. When Brady comes out for practice, he's the fourth quarterback. He runs out. Sometimes he comes out with Gabbert. They practice far away from the media, and I will focus. And specifically, are the balls that are 20, 30, are they on a rope? Yes. When they do that boom, 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 footwork, boom, 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 or in between the dummies, boom, boom, and then they turn and throw right or turn left, and it's like 35 yards down, 40, it's on the money. Like, there's nothing hurt. Somebody, is Brady hurt? Brady showed he's got hurt. He's not hurt. And Father Time has not caught up to him with his arm. I'm telling you that. And I was so glad to finally see the bomb, and Evans, this is coming from Evans. This is not any internet troll. Internet geek. Evan said he thought it was, I got the quote here. I wrote it down. The best I've seen him since he has been here. It's the best he has seen Tom since he has been here, even in the Super Bowl year. So look, I'm not kissing his ass. I'm not telling you the GOAT hasn't missed more passes this year than I've seen him at all since he's been here. He's missed throws. He's rushed throws. He's made some bad decisions that he normally doesn't. He has. He's done all those things. But if you think Father Time has caught up to him and he's washed with his arm, and I know it's way more than just arm, it hasn't happened yet. It has not happened yet. And so those bombs were on the money. All right, we get to practice on Wednesday. This is under the rock. Okay. And Bowles had said that he wanted to work on things. So I'm looking on Wednesday. They're having their normal practice as they normally do. I looked over at Tristan Wirfs. Everything seems to be doing okay. I'm watching Ryan Jensen. Ryan Jensen, he looks pretty good. He looks pretty good with the shoulder pads on, the helmet. He's got the full gear on. On warm-ups, when they're sprinting, kind of sprinting, he's keeping up. He's looking good. When they're backpedaling and then he's doing all these moves with it's high kicks and kicks to the side with his legs, his hips, everything, he's looking pretty good. But then when the offensive linemen go over, where you can see Raymond James Stadium in the background, over to the right where we are against the building, he's not part, like when they do one-on-one and he's going up against another offensive lineman with might have a pad or acting like he's a defensive player, and then the offensive player will look like to block and push him back, things like that. Evans is pretty, Jensen, red-haired ginger, he's full go. He looks pretty good. But then when it comes time to the O-line, now this is not 7-on-7, 11-on-11. We can't see that. But when it's the O-line, like three or four of them against the backups, they're there, he's just watching from the back. So he's not, they don't have him quite there yet. And it was the same thing on Thursday, even though it looked like he was doing a little bit more. So he really has taken a big leap. Is he going to be able to go for the wild card game? Maybe. But the thing about it is, and I got to get into this with the whole quarterback situation and the backups and Trask. I'll get to that in a minute. But you don't rotate in the center. It's just not a good look. Like, they have to be in rhythm. This isn't rotating in your D tackles. The offense is different. It's a unit. It's a unit. And who gives you if they're going to go with Jensen for this next, the opening, the wild card game, he's got to be able to go. And is he going to be able to go a whole game? You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I don't know. But he is taking a pretty big leap. Now, Arians was in his golf cart. He is something, man. I just get a kick. I like him. I like Arians. So he's in the golf cart. And he's over and he's talking with Leftwich the entire half hour that we were watching. Leftwich is hanging on the golf cart and he's standing there and he talks with Bruce the whole half hour. And then he jumped in the golf cart and Bruce drove him. He drove him to another part of the field and they parked it there and he was still talking. And then they're like, okay, wrap it up. It's time for the media. That's all you can see. It's like last call at a bar. You know what I mean? Isn't that the worst? When they turn on the lights and you might see a girl. You thought, last call at 2, 3 a.m. It's been a while. It's been a while for me. But anyway, I kid with the PR. Like, you're like last call, man. All right, wrap it up. That's it, guys. And when we were walking out, Leftwich was still in the cart with Arians. I got so much. So many clicks for that video. It cracks me up. And one other thing that I knew on Wednesday. Now, Once we go in, that's it. We have to wait till practice is over, and then the locker room opens up, or we're in the media room, or we're hearing from the coaching staff or the GOAT. But I walked out to my car to go get something, and I just kind of glanced back towards the field as I was walking. I'm not peeping Tom, but I did notice. I was like, oh, there's the first team. Looks like the GOAT, Evans. I was like, they mean business. Like, the first, the number ones. Because if Brady, if they were just saying that and just to try to throw off Atlanta and like, yeah, I'm going to go with my starters, we'll see. And then all of a sudden comes the game, they had a second thoughts. They wouldn't have Brady and Evans and the first unit taking snaps for this game. You know what I mean? They'd have whoever was going to start. So I was like, okay, they're going with the first guys. Now, I'm trying to think here. The Buccaneers rushing 25 carries, 67 yards. Here's the thing. Now, look, those bombs were tremendous. The numbers were good. The scoring, that was good. Okay. However, the Buccaneers on third down, 4 of 15. The Buccaneers in the red zone, 1 of 3. It isn't like they're really gelling on all cylinders here. It was good. That's why I want to see a little more in this game. Come on, man. Keep it going. You want to go in the playoff. You want to go in this playoff game feeling pretty good. Now, my Under the Rock on Thursday, we get there. Arians is standing there with his coffee cup. He gets in the cart. Once again, talking to Leftwich. Long time. Good 20 minutes. That's his guy. Leftwich is his guy. I don't know what he's telling him. Hopefully he's giving him some pointers. Hopefully Leftwich is asking him questions. Now, here's another thing that you're going to hear it here. You get this, and even on the injury report, you know, Tom Brady did not participate. It was a Veterans Day. The older guy, they give you off. Here's the thing. The quarterbacks go out there. Trask is always the first one out, and especially because he's going to dress. Trask is going to get his feet wet, it looks like, in this game. Maybe. But he usually is inactive. Trask is dressing. Brady comes out last, as he always does. This time he's dressed. He doesn't have the orange jersey on. He's got a black t-shirt. He's got the black sweats. He's got the white, either sneakers or cleats. It's a distance, okay? And, you know, and he's running out. This is supposed to be his Veterans Day, not practicing. Well, I'm looking, and there he is. He gets the football. He's in all the drills. He's just not throwing it. In other words, they do this drill where they put down, it looks like cones, or whatever they put down on the ground, and they got to keep stepping over it, like boom, 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 turn, throw. They have blocking dummies. Okay, go in and out, go in and out, boom. The quarterback's coach, Christensen, might have something to get in their way, boom. They have another time where they'll turn opposite the receiver, or in this case, it's an assistant coach, and they'll be opposite, and they'll go up, they'll slide, they'll go back. Christensen will have a ball, go right, go left, go right, turn, ball. And they turn completely around where they don't have a chance to see the receiver, and then they fire to the receiver. Brady is doing all those drills except for throwing. He's giving his arm and shoulder just one day's rest. So then he underhands it to someone else. But my point is that the GOAT is out there even on a veteran day. I remember going back to Keenan McCardell days because he was older. They would give him a veteran day. He wasn't out still doing all the drills. He was on the sidelines. He might be working with a trainer, easy, not Brady. So when you read that Brady has had one day off this year, he still is out there working on his game. Here's a good one for you old schoolers, you old timers that follow the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a long time. It's a beautiful day on Thursday. The weather's gorgeous down here now. Oh, my God. And not a cloud in the sky, just beautiful, maybe 68 degrees, 70. Oh, my God. And I'm looking at the defensive linemen, and they usually are standing around until they're told to do something. And I'm hearing some loud laughing, loud. And I look over, and it's Nacho and Akeem Hicks. Akeem Hicks is loud. And they're busting balls, they're telling jokes, and they're laughing. And I swear to God, I had a flashback. It reminded me of the Warren Sapp days. Whether they were at Disney, at Wide World of Sports, whether it was at UT, whether, I'm trying to remember, were they in this building? Was he still here in where they practice and now? Or was it at the old One Buck? You could be coming from the parking lot and you would hear Warren Sapp. I don't know how, his energy level, his motor, he was so loud and you knew it was Sapp. And it also was like with Nacho and Akeem Hicks. I was having a flashback. I mean, it reminded me of Warren Sapp from that D-line days. But anyway, it's a little something for you old schoolers. I will say this, Devin Tompkins is their lone return man now, because all year it would be the little guy, what's his name, that was Arian's guy. They let him go. But they would also mix in a Scotty Miller, maybe somebody else. These practices now, at least when they're doing special teams work, it's just Devin Tompkins. He is their guy. Wednesday and Thursday, I didn't see any other returners. So they're going with him. Okay? I asked Bowles on Wednesday because I know it's been a hot topic, especially on local radio here in Tampa Bay, because one of the hosts is a Gator. And I saw him at a function. I think I saw him at the, wherever I saw him. I've been out and about. Might have been at the party. I don't know. And anyway, and I said, oh my God, you with the, no, yeah, it was in the press box for the bowl. I said, man, you with the Kyle Trask thing, you with the Gator. And he was like, look, man, I think that the Bucks should see what they got, because they got to make a decision. If Brady is gone, what do you do? And you can only judge in a game. I want to see, if Brady isn't going, I want to see a lot of Trask. Okay, here's the thing. And he even admitted, as a Gator fan, you know, I don't know if he's got it, you know, but he's a huge Gator fan, this talk show host here in Tampa Bay. Here's the thing, what I see. Yes, Jason Light has one eye on next year and one eye on what's going to happen after this season is over. You got to. Okay. But you know what they're looking at in that One Buck? They're looking at making a long run now. You got the goat now. Okay. Who gives them the best chance? So I wanted to ask Bowles, and I asked him, you said that Tom Brady is going to start. When Brady comes out, is it going to be Gabbert, or are you maybe going to give Kyle Trask a shot to see what you got? And Todd Bowles said flat out, he did not hesitate, when Tom comes out, it'll be Blaine Gabbert. If and when Gabbert comes out, then it will be Kyle Trask. I said, okay, thank you very much. I understand that, because let's just say, I don't even want to say it, but if Brady has to come out, whether it's this game or in a playoff game, versus whatever scenario, I don't want to say anything to jinx anything, if he comes out, do you think they're going to be like, okay, well, let's see what we got for next year, so let's put in the rookie who has not played a snap during the regular season? Hell no. You want to see what you can, if you can win. What do you have the hero Gabbert here for? Okay? He's been in the league a long time. He knows this system. You want to win. You're looking at now. You're not going to be in a wild card playoff game if something happens to Brady, or the next round. Let's see what we got in Trask. So no, you got to get reps for Gabbert. You got to get him. If Brady comes out in this game, which they're not going to play in the whole game, you got to go with the number two guy, the veteran, because you want to win now. That's how I see it. I understand you want to see what you got in Trask down the road, but not now. Not now. You are looking to win. All right? Try to get that out. Oh, and don't tell the GOAT that this is a meaningless game. He breaks it down, and I do believe him. You can see the look on his eye. He does. He thinks every practice is meaningful. Every film that he watches is meaningful. Every movement that he makes with his legs and his TB12 and his plyometrics is meaningful. That's why he's 45 years old and still where he is. So he doesn't want to look at it like that. And it was funny when he was asked that. Now, the Byron Leftwich, I know there is one of the Joes that just, he just can't even stomach Leftwich. This one to me this week when Leftwich was addressing the media just got to me. You got to be kidding me. All year on Thursday, Leftwich. See, you guys don't see it. You don't see what we see. All it is about scoring points. All it is about the W. We just want to get more points than our opponent. We want to get one more point than our opponent. That's it. Okay. All right. NFL Network, Sarah Walsh, is great. And she'll talk to Stroud. I'll be listening into the conversation. Sometimes she'll say something to me and I'll chime in. This is when we're waiting in the media room. And it's this thing where we're trying to get Bowles to say something other than, you know, what do you want to work on? What do you want to see from this offense? Because the offense is a big drop off. What do you want to see besides points? You keep saying we just want to get one more points. Is there something else? And you know, he never answers. Well, this week, here we go. This is from Leftwich. I think it looks bad. He's asked about the offense, okay? I think it looks bad, but we're the 12th best offense in the league. Ain't that something? He always says it's about scoring points. Okay, so I was looking it up. Leftwich says we're the 12th best offense in the NFL. You are the 12th, or you're actually 11th in yards. You have been telling us all season long it's about points. It's about scoring. It's about the W. And now you're bragging that you're 12th best offense in the league. Yeah, 11th in yards. The Bucs are 24th in scoring. The Buccaneers, right now today, before this kickoff, on Bucs Kickoff Podcast, the Buccaneers have 29 touchdowns this season. Last year at this time, the Buccaneers had 56 touchdowns at this point. That is such a huge drop-off. Here's Leftwich again. Quote, when you really listen to people talk about us, it's emotions talking. That's not really people that are watching us get better every week. Look, the Bucs are 22nd on third down. The Bucs are 25th in red zone. The Bucs are near the last in scoring. They're 24th in scoring. That ain't just emotions talking. That ain't not watching. Okay? It is one of the largest scoring drop-offs from a year ago on offense in NFL history when you're talking about points. Points. Trying to score more points than the opponent. That one, I'm at a loss for words. All right, let me get into the Falcons. You ready to get into the Falcons here? How are we doing? All right, I'm already at 44 minutes. My God, I thought I was at 20 minutes. Listen, I'm loving this season. I know it's been up and down, but look at where you are sitting. You and me and everybody here. Guaranteed home playoff game and now going into a final regular season game, trying to win 3 in a row, trying to build on something, trying to build on the momentum. Pretty damn good, right? What about Atlanta? Atlanta has not checked out. Far from it. And being in the NFC South, and if you're a Buccaneer fan, You're gonna see Desmond Ridder, and we're gonna see Desmond Ridder. Desmond Ridder is a winner, and Desmond Ridder in this short sample size is getting better. Desmond Ridder in college at the University of Cincinnati, 44-6 in 50 games in college. He has never lost a college football game at home when they played at home in Cincinnati. And then last week, his first home start as an NFL quarterback in Atlanta, he won. So Desmond Ridder is 27-0 as a starter at home, going back to his high school year. He's never lost at home. And this game is in Atlanta. The Falcons are playing pretty damn good, man. Look, they were 4-12 the last 2 years at home. Now they're 5-3 at home, looking to go 6-3 at home. And the thing about Desmond Ridder, when I was at the NFL Combine and talking with the former Chris Sims, and we were talking, blah, 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 blah. And I was standing right around his set where the Pro Football Talk NBC had their set. And I was waiting for like 2 days to finally get him because he said we're going to do it. He's always busy and he was interviewing Desmond Ridder. And he really likes Ridder. Ridder's got all the skills. And the thing about it is he's not afraid. He's making good decisions. And the coaching staff is putting him in go ball out. Not make simplifying the game plan when it's do or die. We're not running it. We're not punting. We're not going to go for the field goal. And Ridder understands that. He's making back shoulder throws. His accuracy. Look at his tape, man. I've looked at it, and he can put it where he wants it. He's taken that deep shot to Bird. It was on target. And Arthur Smith is trusting Ridder. There was a point in the game, late in the game last week against Arizona. There was less than 2 minutes to go. They had a 3rd-and-7. They could have run it. They could have run down the clock. They could have made Arizona use a timeout. They could have kicked a field goal because they got a good field goal kicker. And they said, no. Boom. Go for it. And Ridder hit Michael Pruitt for a 14-yard gain to the 10-yard line. Tight windows. That was a tight window. Great decision. Good decision. He went through his progressions on that. He could have gone to London. London's going to be good too. It's another thing. Falcons they're reloading. They're looking to build some momentum in this game. I'm telling you. But for a young quarterback, man, he went through the progressions real quick. They boom and he hit Pruitt. He ran for a first down. So the thing is, Arthur Smith is not playing it safe. It also helps to have a running game. And that will help the GOAT as well, as you know. Let's go back to the week before last week in New Orleans. 4th down. Boom. Go for it. He threw to London. Now, London did fumble, but it was a big play that Ridder came through. Algier is the story. 20 carries, 83 yards. They call him CP, Cordarrelle Patterson. He had one touchdown run. Desmond Ridder, like each game, his completion rate is better. I think he was 73%. No picks, too. That's the other thing about this Desmond Ridder. Look, I'm going to tell it like it is, man. You know, the last 2 weeks, okay, for Desmond Ridder, completed 67% of his passes against the Ravens and then 73% against the Cardinals, okay? In his first start, it was against New Orleans. He was hit. He was sacked 4 times. These next 2 games combined, only sacked 3 times. He also gets it out pretty quick. And when he's going with it, he's decisive and he knows where to go with it. And so that's it. And this Algier, I mean, he's got good moves. He's strong. He gets you the extra yardage. He can escape. He's got 900 yards rushing for a rookie. He needs 123 yards in this game. That would break the all-time rookie Atlanta Falcons running attack. He goes ahead. He is north-south. He gets you the extra 2 yards. This is a challenge. This is a good challenge for this Buccaneer defense, their rush defense. Also, they got this good mix now where Cordarrelle Patterson, 9 carries, 42 yards. I think he had like 4 catches, a rushing touchdown. It's a three-headed monster. Algier, Cordarrelle Patterson, and the young kid, Desmond Ridder. And after the game, Ridder was on the Falcons radio network. And he was talking about how that means a lot to him, that Arthur Smith trusts him. Because, look, he didn't come in as a high pick like this. All the success he had at Cincinnati without confidence. And he's waited his time. He's watched under Mariota. He wasn't thrown in the fire. I think that was a pretty good move, actually, by Atlanta. Yeah, it was a good move. And he said, believe it or not, that makes him feel good that Arthur is calling on him to go ahead. Go biscuit. Go risk it. Go ahead. It's not lost on him. Now, the last time the Buccaneers played Atlanta seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? Holy crap. I actually had to be looking it up. I remember they jumped out. They jumped out to a 21-3 lead, the Bucs. It ended up being 21-15. Evans had 4 catches, 81 yards. Fournette, I believe Fournette had 10 catches in that game. The Buccaneer defense sacked Marcus Mariota 5 times. And I think it looks like the Falcons, I think they're going to be not, they're going to go ahead, try to beat us deep because they've seen the tape. You know, and that's why I want to see a little bit more deep shots again. Get that, keep that rhythm going. If not, get the pass interference. That's what I would like to see. The Falcons defense, they have sucked for a lot of the year. They've been playing pretty damn good ball lately. So I looked it up. In the red zone, when opponents get in the red zone, the last 5 games, the Falcons defense, good. 6 for 16. It's about 33%, something like that, 34%. That's very good because the Bills are like number one with red zone defense. And I think the Falcons, the last 5 games, are like 10% percentage points better than even the Bills. That would lead the NFL by a lot. So the Falcons defense, the last 5 games, they've only given up 21 points or less per game. It's decent. Look, I'll leave you with this. We're up to 52 minutes here. I'll leave you with this. The players that I was talking to in the locker room, they're all saying the same thing. They want to play, and when they're out there, they got to play hard. They have to play hard. And I heard it from several players. If you are trying to not get hurt, you will get hurt. You will get hurt. So when you're out there, for as long as you're out there, you got to keep playing. And look, you've won 2 in a row. You want to go in. You don't want to back in. So leave it all out there. Leave it all out there. I hope somebody gives them a speech. Don't be half-assing it. And I know Brady is like that. Evans is going to be like that. Play hard, play ball out. I want to see some momentum because these guys in Atlanta are looking to build, and that with the young nuclear, they're using these young guys and they got the fresh legs and they're playing well. So let's ball out when you're out there. Okay. Get the W and go into this wild card playoff game next week at home with some momentum. Okay, the GOAT is here. We don't know if the GOAT's going to be here past this. We don't know. So let's go. Let's go, let's go, let's go. All right? Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Let's enjoy it. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Burger Monger. Thank you to JoeBucksFan.com, the biggest, baddest, best Buccaneer website in the world. Bucks Kickoff Podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you're out there, ball out.